This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 405 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. 405 so, error messages, method not allowed. In case you were wondering.
Outstanding. Short list of shows for me this week, because as we were discussing pre-show, I was in Canada Friday through Sunday doing the hockey wrestling thing with my boy. So
Canada doesn't have TV, so.
They do. It's all in French because I was in Quebec and we were home late and we weren't in the room. Well, home. We weren't in the room very much anyways.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyhow. But I guess let's jump on the TV show wagon.
Cool.
What did you watch?
So I am an episode behind on both What We Do in the Shadows and Ghosts, which came back this past week.
So we did not watch Ghosts. Because we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch What We Do in the Shadows. So I watched the episode I watched was Come Out and Play.
Yeah.
Warriors, come out and play.
I was wondering if they were going with that one or if they were going with The Offspring.
Yeah, so that's what it was. It was kind of a spoof on that. You haven't watched that one yet. I won't get into it.
Okay.
Great episode, though. Great episode. Really, really fun.
Still going on Big Mouth. We're almost done season six. Evil, we watched a couple more episodes. This show has a nasty habit of like ending an episode and leaving things open. Like there's no resolution and they don't come back to it. And you're like,
well, you start the next episode and you think, wait, did I skip an episode? Is this the wrong one? Did I miss something? Why is it opening this way? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very odd.
Absolutely. Something that happens.
The most recent one that we watched had to deal with the new Exorcist guy, because they changed Exorcist to Bishops like midway through season one or towards the end of season one. And so now we've got a new Exorcist and a new Bishop. And this Exorcist apparently has a gambling problem to the tune of $40,000. But we got the nun there. I really like her. I was like, yeah, she's the I'll make you lamb lady from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And Julia's like, no, she's not. And I'm like, she sure is. And she's like, no, it's a different person. She goes, I know why you'd say that, but it's not. And I was like, okay. So I looked her up. I'm like, yeah, it's absolutely her. She's like, oh, damn. I didn't realize. And I'm like, yeah, she's the lamb lady. So
yeah, I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's decent.
I'm good.
Let's see. But yeah, it can be a very frustrating show. It's enjoyable, but some of it is just frustrating where it just suddenly ends. Or you find yourself saying, there is no way that that would happen. Like one of the girls has fangs growing in and her teeth were bleeding, you know, her gums were bleeding. So she, you know, her mom comes home.
That just gets dropped completely.
Excellent. Her mom comes home and finds a trail of blood that leads like halfway into the living room. And then it's coming from upstairs. So it's like halfway into the living room. So she follows it from there up to the girl's bedroom. And she asks her and the girl goes, oh, my teeth hurt. So I went to the bathroom to check on them. Then why did the trail of blood come down the stairs into the middle of the living room and then go back up the stairs? Just so that mom could, you know, find it and follow it. There's no other reason than that. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, again, the show is decent, but kind of frustrating and like, I'm glad I watched it. It's not something I'm going to watch again.
Yeah.
It's not a rewatch one for me. Yeah.
We were on the cusp of like giving up on it. And then we got the nun involved more and we were like, okay, we're back in.
Yeah. She's good. And there's some great moments.
It's yeah.
It's not 100% for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what I mean. It doesn't make me want to watch it again and again.
I have two shows that I watched that have very different responses. So we're 6 out of the 8 episodes in on Man on the Inside.
Yeah.
And couldn't love it more. The show is wonderful. Julia has cried every episode. For one reason or another, she has cried every episode. It's a great show. It's really touching. The humor is good, but it's heartfelt. You know, it's a really good show. I really, really like this show, and I recommend it to anybody. Deals with a lot of, you know, aging and people being forgotten in a retirement home and making friends. And it's just, there's a lot of good messages, a lot of good stories in there. On the flip side, I had to drag myself across the finish line for Cross season 1.
Like, really?
The first episode, maybe the first two episodes were really intriguing.
Enjoyed it. You told me you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a great.
The first couple episodes, it was great. By the time we got to the end, we were forcing ourselves to watch it because it gets so ridiculous. You know the ridiculousness that you get from Reacher?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But Reacher's good.
Well, but it's also over the top ridiculous. This one, I think you would have a problem with watching it as well because they really tried to make it more modern. So there's a lot of stuff in there about race. There's a lot of stuff in there about BLM. There's a lot of stuff in there about defunding the police. There's a lot of toxic masculinity in here. A lot of the stuff goes way over the top. Like people become ridiculous. The characters become almost cartoonish. Like Alex Cross himself is basically like a cartoon version of what Morgan Freeman was. And, you know, everything, like he'll do this thing over and over again, like every episode, 2 or 3 times an episode where he'll suddenly, like people will be sitting around him talking and he'll stare off into space and you'll hear like, clips, audio clips from previous episodes in his head where he's suddenly deciphering something and then he'll just like snap to the left and get up and leave the room, like just leave in the middle of something. The situations got more and more ridiculous and over the top. You know, people who were supposed to be dead were not dead in almost comical ways. It became ridiculous. It's like, and you could see that there was different directors for different episodes. And I think that played into it as well. But I know that a lot of it's dependent on the writers. Yeah, there were different. Julia just walked in. She goes, I didn't know that. That makes so much sense. But yeah, I can't recommend Cross. Don't bother. Don't waste your time. I love Aldous Hodge and I love a good suspenseful mystery, but this just wasn't. By the end of it, I was ready to be done. And then I'll say the only other show that I watched was I watched the first 2 episodes of Creature Commandos, which is the new animated DC show that James Gunn has created to kind of kick off his new take on the DC universe, which is going to be the official DC universe. So they had 2 episodes out. I watched both of them and I loved it. Did you watch any of those?
I watched both of those episodes last night, and I enjoyed them thoroughly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I like that we got Amanda Waller, and we got Amanda Waller being voiced by Viola Davis, right? That yes. sounded like her. Okay, yep. Good. So I thought that was great. I love how they did touch on previous, like, Suicide Squad. You know, and how they can't use human beings. So they're going to use non-human inmates like and Weasel's back. Like, yes. I really enjoyed that. Like, it was like, you know, James Gunn is like, oh, I'm going to restart the whole thing. But not really.
Right.
There's still, like, he's like, you know, you're going to acknowledge some stuff like where you can.
Yeah.
You know,
he had said that,
go ahead.
That Peacemaker wasn't going to be canon. Season one was not going to be canon, but then he's kind of gone back on that. And he said, well, most of it is, except for when they refer to the Justice League showing up. When you see the Justice League, that's not canon, but everything else in season one is canon.
Yeah. I like that Frank Grillo is voicing Rick Flagg Sr. In Creature Commandos, but he's going to play the live action version of him in Superman and in the Peacemaker second season.
Yes, I really like that.
So that's really cool.
And they made mention of his son dying, and, you know.
Yes. Like,
Julia's like, did we see that? I was like, yeah, that was in Suicide Squad.
Well, and she's like, and he made the call of Weasel. Yeah, his last mission, he's the only one that came back alive from it, blah, blah, blah. You know, everyone else's life was just like, I think she said wasted. It's like, oh, except your son who died in heroic, like just such a deadpan, like,
yeah,
I'm kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bride, cool character.
Yeah.
Very cool character. Yeah. Dr. Phosphorus. I loved their fight, and I really enjoyed afterwards when he's just like cool with it.
Yes. And Alan Tudyk, you know, the guy can do no wrong.
Well, yeah, Alan Tudyk is amazing. That's why. No, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I really liked getting the bride's backstory. Like, they gave her a whole story.
Yeah, in episode two, that was basically all about her and her backstory, and I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and I love, God, I can't even think of his name now. Hopper from Stranger Things. That's
David Harbour.
Yeah, David Harbour. I love his take on the monster, you know, Frankenstein's monster, who now goes by Frankenstein because, well,
his name's Eric Frankenstein.
Yes. I really liked his take on that. And I liked how, you know, the bride was created because he wanted love, and how Victor Frankenstein was teaching her and trying to get her to understand things. It was just, it was a really good story. Honestly, it's too soon to like dive.
Yeah, it really
is. I don't
want
to ruin it for people.
It just debuted like a few days ago.
Yeah.
And it's a hard sell for me. For people that haven't watched it, it's a hard sell. Episodes are 23 minutes long. They're short. It's very adult. Do not watch it in front of with your children. Yes, it's an animated cartoon, but there's nudity. There's lots of cursing. There's lots of violence.
There's implied sex. A lot.
There's just sex. Like, you don't see. But there's just sex.
Well, like behind the door. Yeah, I guess there was that.
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah. There's sex.
There's sex. Yeah.
It's not implied. It's real.
Yeah. There's implied and actual, and there's, you know, animated nudity. I have not been a big, I've actually even tried to watch like The Simpsons and Family Guy recently, and I just don't even get through the whole episode. Like, it's just, I don't know. But I enjoyed the hell out of this.
Me too. I really did. And I like that it's got the bigger ties to the entire DC universe as it's going to be moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Peacemaker and Superman, they're going to have these characters who are not only doing the voices of the animated, but the live action. Very much looking forward to that. I'm wondering if we'll get John Cena in here at some point Peacemaker.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So I like it. I know a lot of DC fanboys were butthurt. You know, oh, James Gunn's going to ruin everything. Oh, Zack Snyder's the best. Nah, he's doing a good job. The only thing that I found mildly annoying, and it's just who the character is G.I. Robot constantly talking about killing Nazis.
Yes.
And referring to himself in the third person, G.I. Robot wants to kill Nazis. It has been 36 hours since G.I. Robot has been able to kill a Nazi. G.I. Robot really wants to crush a Nazi head underneath his foot.
Yeah,
it was just, it was a bit annoying, but I still like the show a lot. What else have you got for shows?
Oh, apparently, Tudyk is going to do the voice of Clayface in this season as well.
And he's also going to be Clayface in the live action universe.
Yeah, so. And he voiced Clayface in the Harley Quinn cartoon on DC as well, on Max as well.
He sure did. He also did Joker in that series.
Dude, he is playing Will Magnus in Creature Commandos. He's got three characters he's voicing.
I mean, I'm not surprised. The guy has range, like,
yeah,
it's astounding sometimes.
Yeah, Sean Gunn is doing G.I. Robot and Weasel.
Yep.
But, yeah. I don't know. I just... Big fan. Big fan.
Me too. Absolutely.
The wife and I finished off Nobody Wants This. I enjoyed this first season very thoroughly. I think you would like it a lot. If you haven't checked it out, you should. So, you know, a lot of these new shows on Netflix, whatever, that are like 8-10 episodes, and sometimes you think it's going to be a one season thing, and then it ends on a cliffhanger or ends really dumb or just ends and you're like, whatever. Maybe we'll get a second season. Maybe we won't. So in this one, it ends. I respect the ending of it, the season finale. Right after, like, the end scene, before credits, it says, good news, we're coming back for a second season.
Oh, that's nice.
But, yeah, like, I was watching at the beginning of the last episode, I'm sitting there going, like, oh, this is going to end so cringy. It's going to annoy me. It's going to be childish. It's going to be stupid. It's just going to piss me off. Like, I just had that feeling. Okay. And then they did not do that. They went the opposite route. They went, like, adult. And yeah, it's, I'm very much looking forward to the second season whenever that comes out. But I would give this as a, you would enjoy this.
Okay.
You would enjoy this thoroughly.
All right.
My wife was sick. She said she watched 5 Hallmark movies, Christmas wow. ones on Sunday, and they just got progressively worse one after the other. And then I yep. jokingly said, oh, did you watch that new Lindsay Lohan one on Netflix? And she was like, yes, that's a good movie. I would watch that right now again. Like, she was a huge fan of it. She said it was way better than last year's Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie where she has, like, amnesia.
Right.
Overboard style. Oh, but without
absolutely.
The, yeah. But no, but she... Yeah, she loved her. That some the new Lindsay Lohan. I thought you would watch that.
We did, yes. And yeah. for what it was decent. Yeah. It had a lot of dumb moments, a lot of cringy, you know, meet the parents kind of moments. But
yeah,
it was definitely a holiday movie.
On the movie side of things, because I was kind of busy all week and gone, you know, I watched some pro wrestling, of course, and I watched some football. So I only got 2 movies in, and they're both versions of A Christmas Carol. First one we watched was the 1970 Scrooge, starring Albert Finney as Scrooge. This is the musical version that's about 2.5 hours long. It's a good flick. We enjoyed it. We watched it last year. We watched it again this year, and you know, it's very good. We also watched the 1984 George C. Scott one, and we enjoyed that one thoroughly. Again, it's a different version of the same story, of course, with their different take on it. And I don't know. We definitely plan on watching the 1951 Alistair Sims. We're going to watch the Muppet Christmas Carol, of course. We'll watch the FX BBC Christmas Carol miniseries, which is like 3 hour-and-a-half long episodes. I think they're 1.5 hours. Yeah. Anyways, it's long. It's my only complaint about it is they do such a great job telling the story, being very thorough and giving us some background on things and this and that. But then when they get to like the spirit number 3, they just kind of like blow right through it and boom, and the movie's over. Like it was kind of, it's almost like they went, shit, we ran out of money. And then they just finished it real fast and called it a day. I've kind of always felt that way on that. So if you are a Muppet Christmas Carol fan, yay, on Disney Plus, if you pull up Muppet Christmas Carol, do not watch that one. Go to the extras section.
Right.
And in the extras section, you can watch the complete version of the movie. Because when they originally released the movie in theaters, there was a song in it that they have since cut out when they did the home video and since replays that they felt was too sad for a children's movie. And so they removed that song from the movie. But if you want to watch the complete version on Disney Plus, again, go to the extra section and it's there. And they put the song back in there.
Okay.
So that is the full complete version. Yeah. Yep. So.
Okay.
Yeah. What'd you watch for movies?
We only watched one. It was one that's on Max right now. It's called Sweethearts. And it's a rom-com with Kiernan Shipka, where basically she and her male best friend go off to college together. They leave behind their long-term relationship. So he's dating a girl who had to repeat the first grade. So she's still in high school, but she's 18. And Kiernan is dating a guy who is a football player who is credited as having the lowest GPA to ever get into Harvard. So they're trying to make long distance work, and then they realize maybe it's not working. So they hatch a plan that when they go home over Thanksgiving break, they're going to break up with these two so that they can get on with their lives. And, that's the premise of the movie. As a rom-com, it's pretty generic. It's pretty formulaic. The jokes, there's some really good jokes in there, some really funny stuff, some cringy moments. Honestly, though, the best part of the show, the best part of the movie, which is surprising because you never hear this, the best part of the movie was the B story.
Oh, so really?
You've got these two, and they're talking to their third best friend, who, like, you assume in every movie that you watch, the third best friend is always going to be, like, the comic relief, the kind of background filler. This kid gets his entire story. Like, he has a B story going on, and it is the best part of this movie. Like, it is great. I'm not even going to spoil it, but he goes on this, like, journey, and it was so well done. It was beautifully done, and I really liked it. So the movie overall was good. I do recommend it. It's not really a holiday movie because they're going home over Thanksgiving, but it is a rom-com. And kind of like what you were saying earlier with one of your shows, with Nobody Wants This, this one ended, what would I say, like grown up or smart.
Yeah.
It's another one of those, like, as they were coming up at the end, I had looked at Julie and I was like, I was really hoping that they weren't going to go this way. I was really hoping that they weren't going to do this. Why would they do this? And she's like, I know, it would be so much better if they didn't. And then they didn't. They went a different route. And we were both like, oh, good. This is a good thing. So it's nice to see that even when something's formulaic and generic, that they can step outside of those tropes and say, you know what, we're going to change things up a bit. So, yeah, really liked it. It was fun. Definitely give it a check out. It's on Max.
All right. Well, I guess we're into news and trailers and whatnot.
Yeah. And there wasn't a ton of that.
No, there was not a ton of that at all. We got Reacher coming back in February with a new season. I saw. I thought that was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
You sent me a trailer for Bloody Axewood.
Did I?
And I got to tell you, I saw the title and I saw that it was an RLJE film.
Yep.
On Shudder. And I went, oh, here we go.
Yep.
But you know what?
You watched the trailer.
And I watched the trailer.
That looks good.
It does.
Yeah.
I was like, Julie, I'm not even going to show you the trailer. I'm just going to tell you the story bits. And I gave her the concept and she's like, fuck, I'd watch that. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I had the same feelings as you. But I was like, oh, well, I'm going to check it out. And then I watched the trailer. I was like, yeah, Abby Blake Cutts Family Business, a video store, has thrived by disposing of teenagers to making slasher movies. And her dad's like a Jason Voorhees type character guy.
Yeah. It's
like he's even deformed and shit.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
In the most unrecognizable face makeup.
Yeah, it comes out on December 27th, a couple of days after Christmas.
So. I'm going to check out that. It looks great. It's great because, yeah, she's like, I'm going to take over the family business. I'm going to go to high school and I'm going to murder kids. And then she kind of falls in love with someone. And
yep.
And then Dad's like, if you don't kill her, I will. So now you've got, you know, two murderers going against each other.
Yeah.
Love that.
So it looks good. It looks fun. Yeah,
it does.
You sent me, Tulsa King's getting two more seasons. I didn't watch this season. I'm not going to, so.
you had said that you might watch it.
Yeah.
Now you've changed your mind and I don't blame you.
You sent the trailer for Snow White coming into theaters in March.
Ooh, what'd you think of that?
It's a live action Disney version of Snow White.
What were your thoughts on the dwarves?
Well, no. So I wasn't a fan because what's his face from Game of Thrones?
Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, it was like he threw a fit and was like, Disney should not be using little people to play dwarves in Snow White. And he threw a fit about it. And then like the other dwarf actors were like, shut up, Peter Dinklage. You're getting cast in roles. This is where we shine. You know, like it was just, so I don't know. It's like the Munchkins in Wicked. They really weren't Munchkins like from Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
Oh, I thought it looked terrible.
Yeah.
It's got cheesy, stupid lines. It looks over the top, ridiculously CGI'd. The animals are CGI'd. The dwarves are the grossest CGI. Like, yeah, I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Oh, tell us about this Grimm Superman and Lois series finale crossover.
I had seen some people commenting on, or they were like guessing what it was going to be, because we had heard that Michael Giuliani from Grimm, you know, the main character there, was going to be in the series finale.
David.
Thank you. Yeah. And apparently he's married to Nancy Tulloch.
Yeah, I didn't realize that as well. They got married in 2017. I looked it up after and I was like, oh, I had no idea.
So apparently Grimm was good to them. So people were thinking that he might be showing up as like Bruce Wayne for that universe, but no, instead
he's the voice of Bruce Wayne in a couple of Batman movies. Yeah.
Instead he was the grown up version of, one of Clark's Jonathan sons. Kent. Yep. Yep. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little sad that like, I never really got into the Superman and Lois TV series.
Me too. Cause apparently it was great.
Really? I did not hear the same.
I heard a number of things, especially as it was wrapping up, saying that it was probably the best that they had of the Arrowverse, which is remarkably low bar.
Well, no, because I think we agree when it comes to the Arrowverse, it started well.
Yes. And then it went downhill when they started getting goofy. And like Arrow started off well, and then it got way too moody and emotional and what's his name? Hated everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Oliver hated everyone.
Right.
Flash started off really good, and then they just got too goofy, too silly, too ridiculous.
Which is ironic, because when Legends of Tomorrow got stupid, it got amazing.
Exactly. Because it embraced it. It was like, we are a stupid show. Whereas, you know, Flash, they were like, no, we have heart, and we're the show about love. And, you know, Supergirl started off strong, and then just couldn't decide what it wanted to be.
So looking up the Arrowverse here, it's kind of amazing. It started in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It ended in 2024, clearly, because, well, is Superman actually even part? Is it really part of it?
Technically, yes, because he was introduced in the crossover, the Crisis That's on true. Infinite Earths.
That's true.
As was Brandon Routh's Superman.
Right. But, okay. And then technically Black Lightning is, cause they looped that in.
Yep.
I didn't realize Batwoman got a third season.
Did it? Wow.
Yeah. So that's, that's interesting.
So that's a thing.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm reading this. Batwoman characters, right? Ruby Rose played season one. Wallace Day reoccurring in season two as Catherine Kate slash Kane slash Batwoman. Okay, so they got someone else to play her there. And then... okay. Oh, that's her twin sister. All right. Yeah, I don't know, I guess. I don't know anymore. Never mind. I'm trying to figure out who played Batwoman in season two. Oh, here we go. All right. All right, so she did play Batwoman in season two and season three. Yeah. Anyhow, sorry, that was very terrible podcasting audio. I didn't realize it went to a third season. All right, what else we got?
Scrubs reboot. Tell us about that.
Bill Lawrence is working on a Scrubs reboot. Nothing else has really been said other than it's been kind of greenlit for pre-production. No idea if anyone's coming back. No idea if they're just going to run with a whole new thing, like the Scrubs med school thing they did. I loved me some Scrubs. That show had probably the greatest series finale of all time until they came back for that last season.
Mm-hmm.
That whole clip at the end, that montage of everything, that was just so good.
And I have to say, the first couple of seasons, like, I loved the show too. Loved it. Yeah. The first couple of seasons were probably my favorite because the tone was darker. It wasn't darker as in like everything sucks, but
right,
it got goofier as the years went on. But the first couple seasons were so dark and so serious and so yet still funny. But yeah, like the episode, Jesus, the episode where they were talking about one in three patients will die while they're in there, and all three of them did. And
yeah,
or we'll just say like, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Or like the episode with Michael Learnard where she did multiple episodes, but it's like she's finally cured. She's going to go home. And then they show you like someone being transferring germs from one patient Cabbage. To one person to another. And then yeah, it was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I love that show so well much. Done.
Yeah. So I will watch whatever they come back with to see what it's about. But you said some news how Slash Films did an article about why season four sucked. And I think I've talked about that in the past. Yeah, because they were hour long episodes and they were hour long because they were mid-season replacement because they didn't have a sponsor at the beginning of the season and they had to fill an hour of TV time for a canceled show.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like the 80s series, the first season kind of stinks because they're hour long episodes. And the third season's amazing because they went back to the half hour format. And now here I am in the early 2000s episodes, kind of struggling through because they're hour-long episodes.
Yeah, it's funny. Black Mirror does well with hour-long episodes.
And I think Jordan Peele did very well with hour-long episodes. But
maybe it's just a product of its time. You know, maybe. Back then, they had stories that were shorter. And they couldn't really stretch it out with the budget and the effects that they had to, you know, maybe fill an hour.
And lastly, you shared the Star Trek Section 31 trailer. What'd you think of that?
I'll watch it. It's going to be a movie, so it's a one-shot deal.
Yep. Yeah, I say TV series? Sorry.
No, you just said Star Trek Section 31 trailer.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I'll absolutely watch it. I'll check it out. Like you said, it's going to be a movie. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you said that was the last thing, but a couple of things popped up tonight while we were getting ready to get on here. And I wanted to share those as well, since we're doing news. Apparently, Sebastian Vanacek took to social media and showed the cover page of his next Evil Dead movie, which is apparently titled Evil Dead Burn.
Where was this?
This was on Instagram. You can see it's Sebvanicek. That's his screen name.
Follow. Boom.
Evil Based Dead on Burn. The Evil Dead by Sam Raimi.
Boom. 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 Heart. Very excited.
Maybe it'll be taking place at a Burning Man event. I somehow doubt that.
Ooh, his movie. He's got a movie called Infested. It's a Shudder original. I'm absolutely going to have to check that out. Because that's what I do. When they when we get a new Evil Dead director, I like to watch out. Whoa, what did you do elsewhere? So I can check that out.
Yep. Apparently, The Wrap has reported that Chris Evans is returning to the MCU in Avengers Doomsday. There's no word on what role he's playing, you know, whether it'll be Captain America or perhaps Johnny Storm or perhaps something else. But yeah, Chris Evans will be in Doomsday. Maybe he'll be playing another Doctor Doom, because I still think that we're going to see like different versions of Doctor Doom.
I mean, that is very possible with especially with. I think that's very possible. I could see that happening.
And this one's very interesting. Jeremy Allen White, the star of The Bear.
Yeah.
He is going to be voicing a character in The Mandalorian and Grogu. He will be voicing Rata the Hutt, Jabba's son.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That'll be interesting.
That will be interesting.
It's going to be the first time we've seen a Hutt in quite a while.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah. But that's all I got for tonight.
Hold on a second. So, they announced the, let's see here, 81st Golden Globes. They announced the, no, that was 81st. The 82nd Golden Globes, they announced all the categories. I don't want to go through all of them. Best Motion Picture, one of the nominees was The Brutalist, which hasn't even come out yet.
Hmm.
It doesn't get released till December 20th. And it is a historical drama that stars Adrian Brody and Felicity Jones and Guy Pearce. And it's about Laszlo Toth, a Hungarian-born Jewish architect who survives the Holocaust, immigrates to the United States, where he struggles to achieve the American dream until a wealthy client changes his life. I have no idea what it's about. It's an A24 flick. But, like, that's not the only one. There was a bunch of movies that they put up that I have no idea what these movies are about or have never heard of them. And they haven't been released yet, but yet they're being nominated for a Golden Globe.
That bothers me. I mean, I get that they're getting released here at the end of the year, so there's like a very narrow window, but at the same time, I don't like that.
Like on drama, it's The Brutalist hasn't come out yet. Complete Unknown, that comes out Christmas Day, and that's the biopic about Bob Dylan. Conclave just got released last month. It's a Pope movie. Dune Part 2. Okay, that's been out a while. A movie called Nickel Boys. That comes out December 14th. Once again, it's okay. And then this movie called September 5th. That gets released December 13th. So again, it's like all these, like of the six movies that were nominated, more than half haven't even been released yet, and yet they're being nominated for film of the year.
It really is.
I
don't like it.
Under musical or comedy, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but Wicked's on there. It's probably going to win. For some reason, The Substance is listed under the musical or comedy category. I don't think it's funny,
and I don't think it's a musical.
No. And they're saying it's a satirical body horror movie.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. Animated flicks, Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Moana 2, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Must Foul, F-O-W-L, and then The Wild Robot. excuse me. Best performance in a motion picture drama. Once again, people nominated are all for, a lot of them are movies that haven't come out yet. Sebastian Stan got nominated for The Apprentice, playing Donald Trump. That was interesting. This name jumps out to me. Pamela Anderson's nominated for Best Actress in The Last Showgirl, which hasn't been released yet. It says, after a successful 30-year run as a seasoned showgirl, Pamela Anderson must plan her future after the show abruptly closes. And Gia Coppola is the director. Francis Coppola's granddaughter. But yeah,
so that's why it's nominated.
Probably. Best performance in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Once again, Demi Moore nominated for The Substance. Still don't see how that is a comedy, but all right. Cynthia Erivo was nominated for Wicked.
Okay.
That makes sense. Hell of a performance. Sebastian Stan was nominated for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for A Different Man. So I think it's funny that he got nominated in both categories. Ariana Grande was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Wicked. So that makes sense. But again, and Margaret Qualley for The Substance.
I don't consider that a comedy.
Yeah, neither do I. Again, a bunch of people nominated for movies that haven't been released yet. Like Guy Pearce for The Brutalist, Edward Norton for The Complete Unknown, Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, which that actually did come out a little bit ago. Denzel Washington got nominated for Gladiator 2. Again, Best Director, half the movies haven't been released. Best Screenplay, half the movies haven't been released. So it's like we as fans haven't seen these movies and may not see these movies by the time the awards are issued in January, because they open up 12 days before, type of thing. I don't understand what this category is, but apparently it's called the Golden Globe Award for Cinematic and Box Office Achievement. Apparently this came out in this is a new award that came out in 2023. To be nominated, you have to the eligibility, you must have grossed $150 million with at least $100 million gross in the U.S., have garnered a commensurate digital streaming viewership recognized by a trusted industry source. So basically, this is an award if your movie sold a lot of tickets.
Okay.
Barbie movie won last year.
Oh, okay.
And this year's nominees are Alien Romulus, Beetlejuice, Deadpool and Wolverine, Gladiator 2, which was just released, by the way. So, okay. Inside Out 2, Twisters, Wicked, and The Wild Robot. Viola Davis is getting the Cecil B. DeMille Award. And then Carol Burnett Award is going to Ted Danson. So, yeah. On the TV side of the awards, for best drama, you're looking at Day of the Jackal, which I've heard is really good. I need to check out at some point. The Diplomat on Netflix, Mr. and Mrs. Smith Prime Video, Shogun for Hulu, Slow Horses, Apple TV, and Squid Game on Netflix. Let's see here. Limited series, anthology series, or motion picture made for television. Baby Reindeer, Disclaimer, Monsters, a Lyle and Eric Menendez story, The Penguin, Ripley, and True Detective Night Country. Oh, Best Performance Drama, Kathy Bates got nominated for Matlock.
Really?
Yep. Oh, Donald Glover got nominated for Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Good for him.
Nice. You still haven't watched that, have you?
I have not. Nope. So. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. A lot of times the Golden Globes like really give you an idea of what the Academy Awards are going to look like, correct?
Yeah. Yes and no.
I mean, it usually it's like this is step one. And I got to say, on the motion picture side of things, not really blown away because I haven't seen the movies because I don't have the opportunity to see them.
Because you can't see them yet.
Yeah. But that's all I got for news.
Yeah, I've got nothing else myself.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the show. We'll see you next week. Maybe. I'm on the socials as Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K. And that's like it. You said, maybe next week.